Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Remember a long, long time ago, last week, when the CDC and other U.S. health officials said the risk of infections for humans is low. And health experts, we don't expect the outbreak to affect food safety or supply when referring to bird flu. But officials did say that it was a rapidly evolving situation. And the FDA and the CDC said, another dairy heavy state, Iowa, is monitoring the situation along with Kansas, Texas, Michigan. Dairy industry officials said that producers have started enhanced biosecurity efforts. I remember talking about this on all the U.S. farms, including limiting the amount of traffic into and out of properties and restricting visits to employees and essential personnel. Now, why would you do that when the risk to infections to humans is low? Apparently, the risk is not low enough. Texas state officials have now reported that a person in the state has been infected with bird flu. Now, he came in close contact with the infected cows. No mention on what kind of close contact he had with the infected cows. I'll let you read into that whatever you'd like. But the patient became ill following contact with dairy cows, presumed to be infected with bird flu. The primary symptom was pink eye. So the first human case of the highly pathogenic strain of avian influenza in Texas, and the second in the U.S., by the way, and that is believed to be associated with the recent detections of bird flu, the AH5N1, in dairy cows. So I'm just wondering, is the risk to humans still low? Or are we saying, hey, maybe it's not as low as we thought? We know that bird flu has been reported in 48 different mammal species. I guess we can tag on another one on that, which makes it 49. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. So last night, April 1st, 2024, for those of you listening live, that makes today the 2nd, I watched Caitlin Clark, the number one seed from the number one seed team that she plays on, Iowa, win an Elite Eight victory over LSU. Now, that was the championship game last year, LSU against Iowa, which set all kinds of NCAA women's basketball ratings, and it was incredible. And I still am questioning why the NCAA would place LSU and Iowa in the same bracket so that they wouldn't have an opportunity to play for the championship again. This was the Elite Eight going into the Final Four. So they, Connecticut, USC, and North Carolina State. UConn, USC, North Carolina State, right, are in the Final Four for the women's, and the men's are Purdue, North Carolina State, UConn, Alabama. And I really don't care much about that. I'm not a big, huge college basketball fan, but I really enjoy watching Caitlin Clark. And I just, it's amazing. The only thing that she doesn't have on her shelf is a national championship. So maybe that's what they were thinking. Look, we'll get LSU out of the way, and then the crowds will come to watch Caitlin in the Final Four and the championship to win her national championship before she leaves college. Because that's the only thing left, is for Caitlin to win the national championship. And I believe that she will. I believe that will actually happen. This is her year. It needs to happen. She needs to have that championship on her shelf. She'll still be a great player, and she'll own all these records. But if she doesn't win the national championship, it's just, a loss. And she will never say that, but I will. I'll say that for Caitlin, so you're welcome. Anyway, during the game, I see a trailer for, there's commercials, so I'm looking at my phone during the commercials. And I see a trailer for the new Planet of the Apes movie. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And I love these Planet of the Apes movies. I just do. I just do enjoy them. So this particular movie is a film that is supposed to begin 300 years after the War of the Planet of the Apes, which was 2017. Ape civilizations have emerged from the oasis to which Caesar led his fellow apes, while humans have regressed into a feral primitive state. When the ape leader, Proximus Caesar, perverts Caesar's teachings to enslave other clans in search of remnants of human technologies. Nice. Noah, a common chimpanzee, embarks on a harrowing journey alongside a human girl named May to determine the future for apes and human alike. I like it. I like it a lot. I like the sound of it. I like the premise. It's awesome. And it got me thinking about Planet of the Apes. So I'm thinking, you know, I liked War. It was really good. I went to the premiere of War, actually, and it was awesome. And I loved Rise, which was the first one, and then Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which I think is my favorite. I really do like Dawn a lot. And since I don't have War on one of my streaming apps, and I don't have Rise on one of my streaming apps, but I do have Dawn on one of my streaming apps. So, you know, after the basketball game, I'm like, well, you know, I got a little time. I'll just catch the beginning. And I ended up watching the whole thing of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And, it was, you know, again, I love the stupid movie. But what I was reminded of was the opening segment of the movie from 2014.
Oh, boy. If you have fever and cough or sore throat, stay home.
I'd say 95% chance this was manufactured, came out of a laboratory.
The source of the virus was traced back to drug testing done at Gensys Laboratories in San Francisco.
A lab technician, now known as Patient Zero, was accidentally exposed to retrovirus ALZ-113, an Alzheimer's trial drug that was being tested on chimpanzees.
The infected chimps showed signs of erratic and aggressive behavior that led to their escape from the facility.
The now famous incident on the Golden Gate Bridge, a six-hour standoff with police, ended with the apes disappearing into mere woods.
Emergency rooms are being overwhelmed with patients showing signs of what's being dubbed the simian flu.
The CDC is projecting a fatality toll ranging from 5 million to as many as 150 million in the next 6 to 8 months.
Anyone showing signs of a contagious illness will receive special treatment here. Yeah. The airport's purpose-built quarantine center.
Many of the new arrivals are children who have lost contact with their parents.
Mandatory quarantines have sparked civil unrest. Families are being ripped apart.
Containment is not very likely.
Prepare your families.
Containment is not very likely.
The survival rate is now approximately 1 in 500.
Violence erupted in the city center tonight. The third incident in as many days.
Martial law has been declared in 28 nations, including the U.S. and Canada.
Reactors overheating. Can't stop a meltdown.
Our generator lost its power.
And they just show footage from around the world.
Civilian order to of the chaos. Of the simian flu crisis. All regular government functions have been suspended indefinitely.
And then,
those who aren't killed by the virus will probably die in the fighting.
Yeah.
So, maybe this is it. This is how it ends. Pretty soon, there won't be anyone left.
And you see satellite shot of the United States. Obviously, the globe is, you know, you see satellite shots from around the world. But it ends with the satellite shot around the United States as the lights end up completely going dark across the country. Fascinating. Just fascinating. I love this stupid movie. And it's kind of frightening when you think about that from 2014. Brings new meaning to what happened a few years after and what could happen now in the future. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Well worth it. If you have not seen that movie, where you been? It's just an enjoyable movie. That's all. It's just an enjoyable movie. Although, when you watch that, you think to yourself, well, maybe now might be a good time for me to sell my house. And move someplace where I can, I don't know, feel safer. And if you're one of the homeowners who's trying to buy or sell a home or both, you've probably discovered by now that you've got a major undertaking on your hands. Almost nothing about getting a house ready to put on the market is easy if you're doing it the right way. And negotiating a sale when you're wanting to buy, it's not as straightforward as it sounds. You're going to want the best real estate agent you can get. And that is where realestateagentsitrust.com comes into the plan. Yes. Real Estate Agents I Trust. They pair you with the top sellers in your area, the people who really know the ropes of the business because they do it full time and they care about getting it right. Look, this is Glenn's company. He started it years ago after getting very, very frustrated and very angry over not being able to sell a house and having to use the third cousin twice removed that said they could do the job and they couldn't. And he figured there had to be a better way. And that's why he started Real Estate Agents I Trust. .com. All the hassle that comes with trying to buy and sell homes, they will help you through it all. Real Estate Agents I Trust. I mean, really, when you think about it, the name pretty much says it all. Real Estate Agents I Trust. Hello. realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. I see Forbes put out their new billionaire list, and there are 1,400 billionaires, which I'm a little shy on. In fact, I'm not. I don't think I'm even on the billionaire list. I didn't look. I just kind of figured I'm not. But there are 14 people who are 100 billionaires. Number 14 is that Carlos Slim from Mexico, 102 billion. Amancio Ortega from Spain, he's worth $103 billion. Michael Bloomberg, of course, from the U.S., $106 billion. Sergey Brin from Google, he's worth $110 billion, and he may be worth more than that if he hadn't had to give his wife, who is now the vice presidential candidate with Robert Kennedy Jr., a bunch of money. Larry Page from Google, $114 billion. Mukesh Ambani from India, he's worth $116 billion. Steve Ballmer from Microsoft, $121 billion. Bill Gates, Microsoft, $128 billion. Warren Buffett, you know him, you love him, $133 billion. Larry Ellison from Oracle, $141 billion. Zuckerberg still hanging in there at number four, $177 billion. Number three, Jeff Bezos, $194 billion. Elon Musk is still below that $200 billion mark. They're coming after him. He's number two with $195 billion. And, of course, Mr. Louis Vuitton, Bernard Arnault, is now worth $233 billion. Wow, he's jumped up a lot this past year. He's at $233 billion, and Musk was even more than that for a while. So it fluctuates, no question. I will say this, that if you want to be on the billionaires list, all you have to do is win the Powerball this next drawing tomorrow, the 3rd of March. 2024, the Powerball is worth $1.09 billion, so you can make the list. You can make the Forbes list. 500. Well, you wouldn't if you took the cash payout. $527.3 million for the cash payout, but at least for the day, you're holding the check of $1.9 billion. You could be on the billionaire list. I mean, mega. That drawing is tonight. That's only worth $36 million, $17.1 million cash payout. I guess it's worth playing. Uh-oh, I see where Kim Kardashian is in trouble again. She's being sued by the Judd Foundation. The Judd Foundation is a not-for-profit organization dedicated to protecting the late designer Donald Judd's work and the legacy. They're now suing Kim Kardashian and California-based Clement Design. This lawsuit was filed. The foundation alleges that Clement's Design sold Kardashian knockoff versions of Judd's La Manzana table, which retails for $90,000, and the chair 84, which retails for $9,000. That's it, though. I mean, we told you, earlier this week that Kim only has 364 million followers on Instagram. So she was doing a video of her skin office, a video tour of her Skin by Kim company. And this was way back in 2022. And she strolls around her workspace, referencing its open kitchen workspace. And these Donald and Judd tables are really amazing and totally blend in with the seats. And she says before pulling out a chair to show viewers how seamlessly the seats slot into the table. Now, Judd died back in 94, who was a minimalist artist renowned for his thoughtfully using of space. Now, it's pretty cool. And this knockoff is still, whether it's a Donald Judd or not, is still pretty cool. But they claim that, you know, hey, it's a knockoff. What are you doing? It's not a Donald Judd. So they said, be careful with your words, Kim. Because she should have said, well, these dining table and chairs are in the style of Donald Judd, not the actual Donald Judd. Now, she may not have known. So, you know, I'll give her that. They say the foundation reached out to Kim, and the publicist of Kim, when learned of it, the publicist allegedly apologized. And according to the lawsuit, said, you know, we did further research, and we've learned, unfortunately, that the table and chairs are not from Donald Judd. We could update the video, caption it with retraction, suggested Kim could make a social media post to promote the foundation, and then we haven't heard from her. So the foundation wanted Kardashian to edit the video and issue a statement making it clear the furniture was not authentic. It offered to replace the Kardashian tables and chairs with authentic Judd pieces at a discount. Hey, we'll give you an actual piece, you know, for at a discount, of course. And they haven't talked to her in almost a year, or at least half a year, since August of 2023. So good luck. We'll see if that's what happens with that lawsuit. That's awesome, though, because just be careful what you know, when influencers tell you might not always be the truth. And Kim is one of the biggest influencers, in the world. So I'm sure it was just a mistake. I'm sure that Kim actually thought that it was a Donald Judd, and it wasn't. Speaking of influencers, I mean, you should follow me on my social media accounts, because while I'm just below the Kim Kardashian numbers on Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on Facebook, Jeff Fisher Radio. You can follow me on X, at Jeffy JFR. You can follow me on YouTube, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. You can email the show anytime, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. And you can order a cameo from me at JeffyJFR. Just go to the Cameo app at JeffyJFR. I believe it's Jeff Fisher on the Cameo website. And you can order a cameo. Just let me know whether you want it to be happy, glad, sad, mad, mean. And I do it. And Cameo is my Cameo's the pimp, which I'm sure they love that recognition. And you just pay Cameo the money and everybody gets their cut. It's a happy, happy little family. You know, another influencer that's doing some really cool stuff is Mr. Beast. I know that he has a little over 29 million followers on X, which again is, you know, I'm just below that. Not quite at the 29.2 million followers on X. I could be, if you would just follow me. But he's doing a lot of cool stuff, and we've talked about his new deal with Prime. And I was watching a video from him on X where he bought a grocery store, put a big name, Beast Grocery, and he has this guy go inside, and he can stay in this grocery store, can't come out. And every day that he stays in there, he'll get $10,000 for every day. And every day they wheel in a shopping cart of $10,000 for him. Now, he stayed in there. It's pretty, and then they film it all, obviously. It's a reality show, and they film him inside the grocery store, all by himself, freaking out, breaking things, cooking things, eating things, whatever you do in the, time you spent in Beast Grocery. And it was fascinating how he, missed other humans, missed the touch and contact with other humans. And he, at one point, what he looked forward to was seeing them wheel in his grocery cart full of cash every day. That was his human contact. Well, then after, I forget how many days, they had it pushed in by a robot, which was, you know, he was really bummed about that. So he lasted 45 days. 45 days in Beast Grocery. Made $450,000 from Mr. Beast. And then, you know, obviously they talked to him like, you can still stay. You make a 10 grand a day. Is 450,000 enough? And he's just in his shorts. No, he's just in his shorts. And he's in this grocery store with shopping carts full of cash. And 450,000 is enough for my man. Really fascinating. A fascinating show. And it's like, you know, they put it together. They edited it as like 20 minutes on X, 21 minutes on X. But really fascinating, the reaction of humans who think, oh, yeah, I can spend. No problem. I'm going to be in this grocery store for how long? At $10,000 a day? Heck yeah, I'm in. It lasted 45 days. And then that was enough. I know I made $450,000. I could stay and make more, but I need to get out of this place. Who died today? Who died today? An American hero passed away. Lou Conter. Well, he was the last surviving member aboard the USS Arizona during the 1941 Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And he just passed away at the age of 102. He was in hospice at his home in California, and he was 102, said he was in hospice already. So it wasn't that, okay? If it was that, they would have said something. Anyway, he's incredible. He was a 20-year-old quartermaster when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, you know, the day that will live in infamy. He was only 335 officers and crewmen who survived aboard the Arizona. 1,177 crewmen lost their lives on the Arizona, while 2,403 Americans were killed in the attack. He said it was 5 minutes to eight and the first plane came across. There was no time to do anything. It just happened so fast. They were dive bombing and they were right down the ship's edge. We didn't have time to look up to see what was coming. They were already right down at the water's edge. It lasted about 40 minutes. We took a 5,600 pound bomb alongside the number two turret. It went through five decks in the forward lower handling room and blew the power up there for the number one and number two turret. The whole bow came, whole bow came up out of the water. Conter helped survivors who had been blinded and burned before being ordered to abandon the ship. Guys were coming out of the fire. They were just grabbing them, laying them down. They were real bad. You'd pick them up by the bodies and the skin would come off in your hands. Holy cow. So he attended Navy flight school and went on to serve in three wars. He flew 200 missions as a pilot and also survived being shot down twice. This guy as an American hero. After retiring from the Navy as a lieutenant commander in 67, he, you know, started hawking real estate in L.A. His wife, Valerie, died in 2016. He had six children from two previous marriages. And so rest in peace, Lou Conter. Wow. There were still, he's the last one, as I said. The last three have died in the last couple years. Donald Stratton died in Colorado at the age of 97. And last year, Ken Potts, who was also 102, died in Provo, Utah. So there's no one left. There's no one left to be the voice of Pearl Harbor. But rest in peace, Lou Conter, dead at the age of 102. Also, who died today? Vontae Davis. Vontae Davis is dead at the age of 35. He's a retired NFL cornerback, two Pro Bowls with the Colts. Remember, he retired at halftime of his final game when he was playing for the Buffalo Bills. He was halftime and he was like, you know what? That's all. I'm retiring. I'm done. And I made the decision and we're done. Have a nice day. Football just wasn't for me anymore. He said he had more of an out-of-body spiritual moment, and my intuition was telling me that football was no longer for me. So, I mean, that's awesome that that's when it happened for him. Everybody was kind of a strange thing, but when you hear people talk about it, it was like, well, if you knew Vontae, you knew that that's the way he did things. So he was found unresponsive in his home. A house assistant, not sure I'm a fan. I need one. I don't have a house assistant. I like to call my wife that. She does not appreciate that title, but I need a house assistant. The house assistant found Davis dead at the house, and they, I mean, obviously unresponsive. So we don't know what actually happened. I have not seen a cause of death. They are investigating it. Police said that preliminary information suggests that foul play was not involved. So it could have been that. It could have been, but they didn't say that yet. You know, so you just don't know. It could have been that, or it could have been, you know, something terribly worse than that. Either way, he's dead. I know. It's sad. So Vontae Davis, dead at the age of 35. Then we have Barbara Rush. Barbara Rush, dead at the age of 97. I mean, if you see Barbara Rush, you'd know who she was. She was in Outer Space and Peyton Place and All My Children. She's had all these roles. I mean, she was acting for, I don't know, 60 years. Worked on the big screen with Paul Newman three times, Kirk Douglas, Rock Hudson, Dia. She worked with all the bigs, Brando, Sinatra, Burton. Hello. So Barbara Rush was, she was one of those Hollywood hotties that did all the shows. She did, she was on The Fugitive, Marcus Welby, MD, McLeod, Ironside, Mannix. I mean, what more do you need if you're on McLeod? She was not on Cannon, though. That's very disappointing. Very disappointed that she did not make an episode of Cannon. Anyway, Barbara Rush, esteemed actress for decades, rest in peace, dead at the age of 97. Now, another esteemed actress who, well, she's not dead, Angie Harmon, but her dog is. She has claimed, now, you remember Angie Harmon, she's Law & Order, Rizzoli and Isles, and she apparently ordered some groceries to be delivered to her home over this past Easter weekend, and it was through Instacart, all right? And so she gets these groceries delivered to her house, and she claims that he got out of his car, delivered the food, and then shot the dog. Why would you do that? I mean, I don't know. Like, humans first, but you just don't go around killing animals when they're not attacking you. He, of course, claimed that it was self-defense. And Angie is like, no, you don't have a scratch on you. You don't have a bite on you. His pants are not torn. Nothing. What? This is what's surprising to me. You would think that Angie Harmon, being Angie Harmon, would have video surveillance around her house. Well, here's the thing. She claims that their Ring camera was charging in the house. Now, I don't know that I'd ever heard of that before, but I don't have a Ring camera, so I guess you bring it in to charge it. But if you have things being delivered to your home, how about you plug it back in out front, Angie? So she said he shot our dog with my daughters and myself at home and just kept saying, yeah, I shot your dog. Yeah, I did. And, I mean, she's traumatized. And so I'm sure she is. She has all kinds of animals. You know, she's talked about adopting other kinds of animals, and she's had a couple of dogs. So this is in Charlotte, Mecklenburg, in South Carolina. So there's the investigation is happening. We'll see. Apparently, he does not work for Instacart anymore. They have commented saying, we are deeply saddened and disturbed to hear about this incident. We have no tolerance for violence of any kind. And the shopper account was immediately suspended from our platform. We have been in direct contact with the customer and are cooperating with law enforcement on their investigation. This is what, through Instacart, their representative. We'll see what happens. I mean, if there's no video surveillance of it, And the driver showed up and then claims that the dog attacked him while he was at the residence and that he defended himself, firing a single gunshot, striking and mortally wounding the dog. There was another dog at the residence that I guess didn't attack him. And so what criminal charges can you bring with this guy? I don't know. It's really sad all around. But, you know, just remember, holy cow, I did not know that you need... I think the Ring cameras were just plugged in through your power supply at your home. So Angie, why don't you foot the bill up the ante a little bit and have the Ring camera focus through your power supply at the house instead of having to bring it in to charge it. And when you're getting something delivered, how about you plug it back in? I forgot to fill out my thing for the class action lawsuit with Google. There still might be time. I'm going to have to do a search mode to try to find the email. Because Google is supposed to destroy browsing data of 136 million users to settle this class action lawsuit that accused the tech giant of secretly tracking users of Chrome's private mode. So they're going to destroy billions of records to settle this lawsuit. And they are also, there was supposed to be a class action lawsuit, could be as much as $7.8 billion in a settlement. I can sue for my own damages if I want to. I just wanted to be a part of the class action. Hey, I can't remember. I don't think I filled it out. Oh, no. I wanted to get my check for a dollar from these class... $7.8 billion from Google. And each person in the class action gets $1. And the attorneys walk away with $5 billion. That's what's going to happen. I know. I just wanted to be a part of it. Gosh darn it. Okay, this headline ticks me off too. Okay, so it says here, Arizona names Pluto, the great state of Arizona from the United States of America, names Pluto as its official state planet. Now, okay, I got no problem with Arizona naming Pluto as its official state planet. They can do whatever they want. Everybody's got enough problems, but I wouldn't want the governor, Katie Hobbs, not to sign a bill designated Pluto as the official state planet of Arizona. However, the headline is, except it's technically not a planet. You know what? Yes, it is. I'm sick of your little dwarf planet BS about Pluto, okay? I know that planets are supposed to meet certain criteria, and it must orbit its host star and be large enough to be mostly round. It must have an important influence on the orbital stability of our objects around it. A dwarf planet is an object that meets those first two rules, but has not been able to clear its orbit of debris. Okay, so now this. So Pluto is now a dwarf planet, and we decided that a number of years ago, so it's no longer a planet. Since 2006, you know what? It is still a planet. And if I want to consider it a planet, I can. And so can Arizona, you big meanies. Pluto is a planet. And the reason that they wanted it to be the state planet is because of this Purcell Lowell founded the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff as part of its research for a potential ninth planet, which was deemed as Planet X. And he and astronomer colleague William H. Pickering found several potential ninth planets, which they investigated until Lowell's death in 1916. After years of long hiatus, the search for Planet X resumed in 1929, this time with Clyde Tombaugh at the helm, and he discovered Pluto a year later with an 11-year-old girl from Oxford, England, suggesting the newly recognized object's name. And so now we've got Pluto as the state planet in Arizona. And because it's listed now as an official state planet, guess what, nitpicky astronomers? Pluto is a planet. And speaking of planets, I see where NASA's Curiosity rover has begun exploring a new region of Mars, one that could reveal more about when liquid water disappeared once and for all on the red planet's surface. It wasn't there, I guess. They claim that it was there billions of years ago. Mars was much wetter and probably warmer than it is today. Curiosity is getting a new look into the more Earth-like past as it drives along and eventually crosses the Gensvallis Channel, a winding snake-like feature that from space at least appears to have been carved by an ancient river. I think it's the Gensvallis Channel, right? The Gedizvallis Channel. So we'll be getting, hopefully getting some pictures and seeing some really cool shots, which I see here in the story, really cool shots from Mars. And I don't know that we're going to ever get there, but Elon believes that we are. So gosh darn, and if Elon believes it, then, well, you should too. You know, speaking of believing things, I saw a post the other day on X from a person place or thing that goes by Mr. Common Sense. Now, it says, according to this content you don't want to miss out on, breaking news, politics, crypto, deep quotes, unapologetic social and political critics, content with AI, follow me. It has 88,000 followers on 88,800 followers on X. So I read his post, and I don't know that I believe it. It's a cute little story, but I want to believe it. And I read the whole thing because it hooked me. I thought it was fascinating. But then you get to the end and it's like, no, you know what? I don't believe it. A father, passing by his son's bedroom, noticed the room unusually clean and saw an envelope propped up prominently on the pillow. It was addressed, Dad. And with the worst premonition, he opened the envelope and read the letter with trembling hands. Yeah, because you figure he's telling him that he's going to end his life. Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I had to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with Mom and you. Okay. I've been finding real passion with Stacy. She's so nice. But I knew you would not approve of her because of all her piercings, tattoos, her tight motorcycle clothes, and because she is so much older than I am. But it's not only the passion, Dad. She's pregnant. Stacy said that we will be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood for the whole winter. We share a dream of having many more children. Stacy has opened my eyes to the fact that marijuana doesn't really hurt anyone. We'll be growing it for ourselves and trading it with the other people in the commune for all the cocaine and ecstasy we want. In the meantime, we'll pray that science will find a cure for AIDS so that Stacy can get better. She sure deserves it. Don't worry, Dad. I'm sorry, but I'm supposed to be sad. Don't worry, Dad. I'm 15 and I know how to take care of myself. Someday, I'm sure we'll be back to visit so you can get to know your many grandchildren. Love, your son, Josh. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Jason's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than the school report that's on the kitchen table. Call when it's safe for me to come home. Now, that's a funny story, but it's not real. Now, another story from an influencer. I mean, that's kind of like today's theme, the influencer theme, is I question the validity of this story as well. So an American YouTuber apparently, reportedly, kidnapped in Haiti by barbecue. You know barbecue. Addison Pierre Maloff, also known online as your favorite Arab, your fellow Arab, okay, that's his posting name, claimed that he traveled to Atlanta to interview Jimmy Barbecue Cherizier, Cherizier. I don't want to mispronounce Barbecue's name. He is the current leader of the G9 family and allies gang that has taken control of the small nation's government. Okay, so now according to this, plans didn't go as like they were supposed to. All right, so he was apparently being held for ransom. He was taken. He and a colleague were taken by members of the 400 Mawazo gang a day after he arrived. And he's being held on $600,000 ransom. Okay? And they claim that $40,000 of the ransom has only been collected, and you know, they're waiting for more. and the YouTube and the kidnappers are demanding more from the YouTuber's release. Okay, so, and then he posted a video. He was the only one at a hotel in Haiti and how beautiful it was, and he wasn't going to travel at night. He was going to travel during the day, and they were supposed to have a safe passage. And so, you know, because he said all it takes is one stupid gang member and one thing to go wrong. And he posted his video, and he was the only one at the hotel, and everything is fine. So then he posts, I was kidnapped purely for the color of my skin. I was kidnapped for being a blank. Can't give any more details till I'm home, but all I will say now is glory be to God, released between Good Friday and Easter, Christ is King. When you're kidnapped in the middle of the Haitian desert, 60 minutes away from any civilization in a concrete shack surrounded by barbed wire, you don't pray to a rainbow flag. You pray to God. Okay, so is that real or is it Memorex? That's an old commercial, Live or Memorex, it's cassette tape talk. Nobody remembers that commercial. But I'm just saying, I find, okay. All right, I just, did we get an interview with Barbecue? I don't think we did, and I'm a little disappointed. I wanted to see the interview with Barbecue. I mean, like Barbecue said, your fellow Arab, get out.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.